For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is Tailgate Tome, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things, too. It is May, but there's a lot going on in the world of college sports. Spring sports, it's championship season. We got conference tournaments going on for baseball. The Super Regionals coming up this weekend for softball. The men's and women's lacrosse Final Four on Memorial Day weekend, as always. And then we'll have Selection Monday for the NCAA baseball tournament on Memorial Day Monday. We also have a lot going on in the courts right now as it relates to the world of the revenue sports, college football, and men's college basketball. And that's where I want to start today, because there were two big pieces of news that caught my eye. And at first, they may not seem like they go together, but I'm going to tell you why they do and how they really kind of play together. I view them as interrelated, and I think that one could help solve the problem that was being caused by the other. So the first piece of news that really caught my eye that I saw was that one-time Florida quarterback commit and now current Georgia backup quarterback Jaden Rashada has filed a lawsuit against Florida head football coach Billy Napier, a Florida booster, and a former Gator staffer. He claims they defrauded him out of millions of dollars by backing out of a promised NIL agreement. Now, if you don't remember this story, Rashada was a very highly rated recruit. He was a verbal commitment to Miami in the class of 2023. Ultimately, he decommitted from Miami, ended up signing in the early signing period with Florida, never enrolled at Florida, was released from his letter of intent, and ultimately enrolled at Arizona State, where he did play last season for a couple games before getting injured and transferring to Georgia after that, where he is right now. Now, at the time of the decommitment, there was a lot of talk about how Florida did not deliver on a promised NIL deal. And that's why he was backing out of it. For whatever reason, the Florida Collective could not come up with the funds. And now Rashada is suing the booster, one of the boosters, a former Gator staffer, and head coach Billy Napier. So hold that thought. That was the first story I saw. Caught my eye. The second story that caught my eye was that it looks like we are moving closer and closer to the NCAA settling this consolidated antitrust cases, these three consolidated cases that they have going on. And part of that would be the NCAA would owe $2.8 billion in back damages owed to former athletes for their name, image, and likeness, and they would pay that out over the next 10 years. There was a framework but that has been widely discussed where the NCAA itself will fund 41% of the damages, the schools will fund 60% of the damages. I'm sorry, I said 41, I meant 40% of the damages. The schools themselves will fund 60%, and a lot of the debate has been about how that will break down between the Power Five schools and the non-Power Five schools. So I don't need to go all into the details, but let's leave it at a lot of the non-Power Five schools and the non-football playing schools like the Big East feel like they are getting a little bit of a raw deal here, and that the Power Five schools, or I'm sorry, I should say Power Four schools, should be paying more than they are. But the big news that caught my eye, despite all this consternation, despite Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman publicly stating the Big East's displeasure with the proposed arrangement and how much the non-P4 schools, the non-basketball play or non-football playing schools, rather, would have to foot the bill here. News broke today, and Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports has been all over this story, that the Big 12 presidents and chancellors voted unanimously on Tuesday to authorize the settlement terms, and they became the first of the power conference boards to make that decision. He also tweeted that despite some pushback from the non-FBS conferences, the NCAA Board of Directors has approved the recommendation for the funding plan to finance the $2.8 billion in settlement damages. So the Board of Governors, the NCAA Board of Governors, also meets this week, and that will be the final step in authorization of the settlement terms. It was approved by the Board of Directors. The Board of Governors of the NCAA have to also approve that as the final step. So we are moving closer and closer to getting this thing all settled. And what that means is not only that there will be payback to athletes who were not eligible for NIL, and I'm not sure how far that goes back. There's still a lot of questions that are left to be answered here about who gets what money and when. But looking forward, this sets things up for a framework going forward where the NCAA may actually be allowed to put some rules in place again. We all know it's been the wild, wild west the past couple of years because essentially the courts are saying the NCAA cannot enforce its own rules. There's been case after case where the NCAA cannot really enforce its own rules. And with this looking like it could get wrapped up, that will really help with that. In one of Dellinger's articles, he wrote about how the settlement develops a new enforcement infrastructure, specifically targeting pay-for-play rules around booster-led collectives. One of the big things with this settlement is that it would allow for revenue sharing at the P4 level between the schools and the athletes, and it wouldn't totally eliminate pay-for-play from an NIL perspective, but it would bring more of the revenue, bring more of the compensation in-house. We've also seen a state like Virginia recently pass a law that schools could bring their NIL collectives in-house. So could we see that more in the future? But the biggest thing for me about these cases being settled is it means that the NCAA might now have a chance to work with Congress on some sort of antitrust exemption. It means that the NCAA might be able to actually start creating rules and enforcing rules, something it hasn't been able to do over the past couple of years. Every time anybody challenges an NCAA rule, they win. The NCAA is told you cannot enforce these rules. And I think a lot of that led to what supposedly happened with Jaden Rashada and Florida. And, you know, I'm not privy to all the details of exactly what happened. And of course, it's a lawsuit and these are allegations. But, you know, the lawsuit includes an allegation that Rashada signed his national letter of intent to Florida less than an hour after Napier promised the player's father a $1 million partial payment that day upon signing. Now, that, of course, is against the NCAA's NIL rules at the moment, but because of the lawsuit filed in Tennessee and the result of that, what the judge ruled there, the NCAA is not really allowed to enforce that rule. And now, I don't necessarily, if you know me, if you listen to me, you know my opinions on things. I don't really think there should be a rule that you can't induce players with pay for play. It's essentially what we're doing. Let's be open about it. Let's be honest about it. Let's just put it all out in the open. To me, it's a lot like legalized sports gambling, where when these stories come up, it seems like everybody gets all in a tizzy about, well, you know, the Brad Bohannon story last year at Alabama with him betting on games his team was involved in or giving information to somebody to bet on his behalf. That stuff with legalized sports gambling, that stuff is more likely to come to light. And why I think these two stories are related is because if we get to a world where we're going to have revenue sharing with the players, if we get to a world where we're going to be able to manage collectives, schools are actually going to be able to manage collectives, and it's not just going to be booster-led and booster-controlled. It's something that can be under the school's jurisdiction. Then I think we can get to a point where things like what happened to Jaden Rashada are not happening. And that's only a good thing. We can also get to a point where there are some real rules. And, you know, I'm not in love with the idea of a salary cap. I think if there's money there, then players shouldn't be restricted from getting it. Now, maybe in the long term, it's not the most sustainable thing, but I kind of think that if that's the case, then that should be something bargained for and decided by the players. But either way, we are getting a step closer to either the players being employees and having that bargaining power, or just having real rules in place that everyone knows. It's hard to live in a state of limbo. It's hard, whether it's being in a job like a head football coach where you don't know the rules and you don't know what you can do and what you can't do. You don't know whether you don't know what the rules are going to be from one year to the next. Whether it's interviewing for a job and you're looking for a job and you don't know what your job, you don't know whether you got the job or not, right? You're living in limbo, and that's hard. You put an offer in on a house, and you don't know whether you got the house or not. That's hard, and that's what everybody in the world of college sports is dealing with on a day-to-day basis right now. But the settlement of these consolidated cases, I think, is going to get us closer to a world where there are rules that can be enforced, and there's some sustainability there where everybody knows what the rules are. It's an even playing field. Players are getting their share of what they are generating for these schools, and we can get back to a little bit more of a sense of normalcy where rules aren't changing from year to year. There's not court cases every year where, you know, we thought a couple years ago you could transfer one time, now you can transfer as many times as you want without sitting out. It would be nice to get to a place where everybody knows the rules. And I think that is something that is getting there. I think we're getting to that point with a settlement in this case. And I thought it was ironic that some of this news around that settlement and some of that and Jaden and Rashada's lawsuit came out on the same day, because I do think they're more related than they seem at first glance. Now, the other thing that I do want to talk about with these consolidated cases and the settlement that's nearing is that I think the way this settlement is structured, it is just another example of how the Power Four is separating itself from the rest of college sports. And I talked about it a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, but it's an example of how there are really just two different levels of this deal within Division I. And for a league like the Big East now, that is very, very competitive as anybody in men's college basketball, they're going to be put in an interesting situation because they don't participate outside of UConn, and they're not a Big East member for football. They're an independent. They don't participate in Power Four football. But college basketball isn't the same without the Big East. And the Big East is not happy about how much of the bill they will have to foot on this settlement. In fact, part of the formula for determining how much each conference owes is based on the revenue distribution, which is very heavily reliant on basketball-related distribution from those NCAA tournament units. And of course, the Big East does very well in that. And this could hit these Big East schools potentially pretty hard because they have a much smaller budget. Villanova has a much smaller athletic budget than, say, Alabama does. Seton Hall has a much smaller athletic budget than Tennessee has. UConn has a much smaller athletic budget than Ohio State has, even though they do have football. So it's going to be an interesting spot for Big East schools. Big East is what's particularly most interesting to me, to see how they handle this, and does this give the P4 schools another leg up over a league like the Big East, even though UConn has won back-to-back national titles? Do we look in 10 years and say, well, the Big East just couldn't compete moving forward? And I think there are some real questions for a league like the Big East and where they stand in things. And I think it would be a big loss for college basketball if the Big East falls behind those Power Four leagues just because they don't play football. And I'm not saying the money that comes out of their budget, although it is going to be a larger percentage than for Seton Hall than Tennessee, I'm not saying that cripples their basketball programs or anything like that. Just with everything I read, everything I watch, everything I hear, it just feels like those Power Four football playing conferences feel like they are an entity of their own. And I just wonder where a league like the Big East fits in from a basketball perspective in the future. And I think it would be a shame if we can't find a way to include the Big East in that in some way, shape, or form, because college basketball is better with more schools that have tradition, a passion, a history, a thirst for success in the sport. And that fits those Big East schools to a T. That's why I love the Big East. And it's just something I'm thinking about as I read these stories and what Val Ackerman has to say. And when I read these stories about these settlements and what these Big East schools will have to pay over the next 10 years, it's just something I'm thinking about as the P4 seems to be moving further apart from everybody else, not just in football, but collectively in all sports. All right, moving on to some action on the field today. It is conference tournament week in college baseball, and watch out because here come the defending national champions, the LSU Tigers. The SEC tournament kicked off today, Tuesday, in Hoover, Alabama. Great site for it. That's where it is every year. I think there's something very special about having a place that you have your tournament every year where you build traditions there. You know, you hear SEC fans talk, and they just talk about Hoover. That's all it takes. One word, Hoover. So you're going to Hoover this year. What's your favorite Hoover memory, right? I think it's a special thing for that community and for the SEC baseball fans. I'm always a big fan of having one place to have your tournament, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, whether whatever, anything. I love that about the SEC baseball tournament. But here come the defending champs, the LSU Tigers, because they got a big-time win over Georgia today in the opening round, 9-1. And after a slow start to the season, they were 3-12 in conference following a weekend sweep at the hands of Tennessee just a couple months ago. They get to 13-17 overall, which is kind of the magic number when you're looking at what gets you into the tournament from the SEC. 13 wins seems to be the magic number over the years. After that 3-12 start, they finished 10-5 down the stretch. They took a series from A&M, who's the projected number 3 seed overall by D1 Baseball. It took 2 out of 3 from Alabama, a tournament team. And then in the final weekend of the regular season, they swept Ole Miss, another team fighting for a tournament spot. And then they get this big win today, taking down Georgia 9-1. And they got a big-time performance out of their starting pitcher, Gage Jump. He went 7 strong. He struck out 7. He walked just 1. And he gave up just a single earned run. And he has been a huge part of this turnaround down the stretch. Over his last 6 starts, the Tigers are 5-1 in the games he started. And it all started after that loss, that sweep at the hands of Tennessee. He lost his start to the Vols on that Friday night. He went just 4 innings, gave up 5 runs, walked 4. Not a great performance for Jump. He has responded since. LSU 5-1 since then in the 6 games that he started. And he's a guy that could be a difference maker for them in the NCAA tournament. Watch out in a year where it seemed like, hey, maybe LSU is just going to succumb to the curse of the national champion. They're not even going to make the tournament. They're 3-12 in the SEC. They have completely turned things around, and it seems like they are all but a lock to get in to the NCAA tournament at this point. They have another great opportunity tomorrow because they have a date with Kentucky, who is the projected top overall seed in the NCAA tournament right now per D1 Baseball. But look what happened last year with LSU. You did not sleep on LSU. You did not sleep on head coach Jay Johnson. The Tigers are coming, and you better watch out. Now, I want to wrap up the show on a somber note here. Auburn running back Brian Battee is in critical condition following a shooting over the weekend that killed his brother, Tommy Battee. Hugh Freeze, Auburn's head coach, sent out a tweet on Monday afternoon where he said that Battee had suffered a setback the previous night, which would have been Sunday night, and that he's still on a ventilator. There's really very little additional information that's out there, but I know the whole college sports world is thinking about Brian Battee and hoping for the best for him and his family. Thanks for listening to today's show. I'll be back later this week. Depending on what's going on with these baseball tournaments, you might get some baseball talk. If something big happens with an NBA draft stay or go decision, you might get some hoops talk. But the one thing I know I'll be talking about is EA Sports College Football 25, the return of the college football video game. I'm going to tell you a little bit about why that game is so important for college football fandom moving forward and what that game means to me personally. I'll also be back with another top 5 list, as I will be every week throughout the rest of the summer until we hit college football preview season.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.